Morning. Today's daf im sachem yud tes one yud ches amud beis. We're going to be beginning with the words Amar le Ravina le Rav Ashi. About 10 lines from the bottom on yud ches amud beis in our discussion of Tumat Tahara. So this is going to be our second to last day. The last seven blot of the first parak of Pesachim deals with Tumat Tahara. And thank you so much for indulging. Obviously, this is a bit of a challenge in terms of even for those people who are regular learners and frequent the Daf Yomi. Still, Tumat Tahara is a world that is a little bit foreign to us, something that we do not get to discuss much in the Daf Yomi context. Tumat Tahara is discussed in Seder Taharas, and there's no Talmud Bavli on Tumat Tahara. And so, therefore, a lot of these concepts to us are new, and even for those of us who have been around in the Daf for a while, there's still somewhat concepts that are a little bit outside of our comfort zone. So good. So a week a little bit beyond our comfort zone. That's a good thing. In the meantime, the Mishnah back on Yudalid spoke about burning Truma Tahor and Truma Tameh on Erev Pesach. Obviously, the Truma that we're discussing back then was Truma, which is Chametz, and it needs to be destroyed because Chametz is Aser, Be'achila, Be'hana'a, and Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. So therefore, you have to burn the Chametz even though it's Truma. And even though under normal circumstances we never would burn Truma, but nevertheless, because it's Chametz, so therefore it has to be burned. And the only issue that was discussed back on Yudalid is whether or not you could burn the Truma Tahor together with the Truma Tameah. Burning it in one pile, the Truma Tameah is going to be Metameh the Truma Tahor while you're burning it. So is that an issue? So Rabbi Meir says it's not an issue. Rabbi Yossi says it is an issue. And so the ensuing discussion that took us now 4 or 5 days and will continue to take us through, and that is, what is at the root of Reb Meir? What's at the root of Rabbi Yossi? So you'll recall, a turning point in the whole discussion was back on Tetzayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara over there noted, okay, I meant Yudzayin Amud Beis. Yep. So the Gemara over there noted on Yudzayin Amud Beis that the... I'm sorry. And now I'm jumping around. Sorry. On Tez Vav Amud Beis, so the Gemara over there noted that what is that issue over there between the between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi is the question of Tumas Mashkin. Now, Tumas Mashkin, that means to say that, as we have already established numerous times, there are four categories of items that are eligible to become Tameh. There's Adam, there's Kalim, there's Ochlim, there's Mashkim. And within those four categories of that which can become Tameh, so whether or not a mashke can be mitame something else, so that is a point of significant controversy. And so what the Gemara noted on Tezvav Amud Beis, okay, that's my final answer, by the way, so is that the machlok between Rav Meir Rav Yossi is going to be revolving around whether or not a mashke can be mitame, meaning the Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim, which opened up, it was the launching pad for the whole discussion, that says that you can burn Basar Tame together with Basar Tame. Basar that becomes Tameh with an Avatama, together with Basar that becomes Tameh with a Vladatama. So what was the case of the Basar that becomes Tameh with a Vladatama? Sheretz touches Mashke, Mashke touches the Basar, and now the Basar is Tameh. Is that on a Daraisa level, or is that on a Darabana level? And the Gemara on Tezvav Amud Beis says that's exactly at the core of the Machlokas. Rav Meir says that the Basar becomes Tameh on a Darabana level, because Mashke is only Metameh Midarabana, not Midaraisa. And Rabbi Yossi says that the Basar becomes Tamei on a Da'oraisa level, because Mashke is Metamei Da'oraisa. And so therefore, once we have established what exactly the case of Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim is, so then the question becomes now, can we move that, can we use that as a model to discuss to conclude about whether or not we can burn Truma Torah and Truma Tamei together? Good. That was Tezvav Amud Beis. Then, Tezayin, Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, the last three Dapim of Gemara, so that revolved around the issue as to whether or not, where exactly people stand on the issue of Tumas Mashkin. Whether or not Tumas Mashkin is Metame, is it not Metame? And for that, the starting point and really the whole centerpiece of that discussion all revolves around a Braisa that was quoted on Tetzayin Amud Aleph, on the top of Tetzayin Amud Aleph, where there the Gemara introduced us to three opinions amongst the Tanayim. Really, four Tanayim, but three opinions amongst the Tanayim, whether or not Mashkin is going to be able to receive Tuma, whether it's able to transmit Tuma. So there was the Shitas of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon. Now, Reb Meir, we already established, and we already discussed that in detail. Reb Meir says that mashkin can become tameh, but it's not going to transmit tumah. That was Shitas Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Elazar agrees with Reb Meir, at least that's how it's reported, but we already discussed that. Then we have the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa took an extreme view, which is that not only is Mashkin able to become Tamei, but it's able to transmit Tumah. Not only is it able to transmit Tumah, says Rabbi Yehuda, to Ochlim, to foods, but it's even able to Mimitame Tumah to Kalim as well. The Gemara noted already that Rabbi Yehuda rejected from that position, the Gemara in Yezayinim Adbeis. And then there was the opinions of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon says that Mashkin are going to be Metame Ochlin, but Mashkin are not going to be Metame Kalim. Good. So that position, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, that's what we've been discussing now for some time. And the Gemara noted in yesterday's daf, which we went through obviously yesterday, what exactly is the source of the Shita Rabbi Yossi that Mashkin are going to be Metame Ochlin? The Gemara noted yesterday, if you look back in yesterday's daf in Yud Ches Amud Aleph, a statement made by Reish Lakish, Amar Rabba Babachan, Amar Reish Lakish, you can find it right in the middle of the Amud, and that is Rabbi Yossi B'shitas Rabbi Kiva Rabbo Amra. That as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, where he subscribes to this idea that Mashkin or Matame Ochlin, so that he learns from Rabbi Kiva, meaning not that actual position, but actually how to darshan the pasuk. Now, as we pointed out in yesterday's daf, Rabbi Kiva, when the pasuk says Kol Kli Cheres Asher Yipol Mehem, so the pasuk says that if I have Kli Cheres, where I have a food going into the Kli Cheres, first the Sheretz goes into the Kli Cheres and is metame the avir of that Kli Cheres, and then food goes into that Kli Cheres, into that same Kli Cheres, and it's the interior airspace. So the Torah says that the food is tameh. The Torah doesn't say the food is tameh, but rather yitma. And the way Rabbi Kiva understands it is that food not only becomes tameh as a sheni, but it's also mitameh. It's also able to be mitameh other things as a shlishi as well. And as we're going to be discussing in the course of today's daf, Rabbi Kiva is of the position that in terms of chulin, standard chulin, so not only can it become a sheni, it could also become a shlishi as well. Rabbi Yossi takes that maneuver of yitma to mean not only does it become tummy, but it also transmit tumma. So he takes that to the world of mashkin as well. The pasuk regarding mashkin, chol mashke asher yishaseh b'chol kli yitma. So what Rabbi Yossi does is he uses the same maneuver as his Rabbi Akiva, and the word yitma over there means not only that it becomes tummy, but yitameh it also is going to make other things tummy as well. Good. That was all the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi learned it from his Rabbi Akiva. Again, not the halacha, but rather how to darshan the psukim. Okay, that is just a quick recap of yesterday's daf. With that stated now, so here we are in the Gemara, continuing right where we left off. Okay, Amale Ravina le Ravashi, picking it up where we left off yesterday. Ravina says to Ravashi, Vahama Rava, le Rabbi Yossi, Savra ka Rabbi Akiva, vela Rabbi Akiva, Savra la ka Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, well, Ravina says to Ravashi, does everybody not remember that which was taught to us by Rava? Notably, Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree to Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi doesn't agree to Rabbi Akiva. All this to be explained in much bigger detail. But the Gemara is just bothered by the fact that, what are you telling me that Rabbi Yossi learned his halacha from Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Yossi doesn't agree to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree to Rabbi Yossi. So Amalei, Rabbi Yossi b'shitas Rabbi Akiva Rabbo Amra, v'lei lo sfirilei. So the Gemara says that, yes, you're right, Rabbi Yossi does not agree to Rabbi Akiva. As far as yesterday's daf is concerned, where we went through an entirety of the daf yesterday dedicated to how Rabbi Yossi is darshing the pasuk, so now the Gemara says, okay, we're going to have to look at it just a little bit differently. And that is Rabbi Yossi was not espousing his own viewpoint. In fact, his own viewpoint differs in that of Rabbi Akiva. All Rabbi Yossi is saying is that once you darshan the pasuk, using the method of Rabbi Akiva, so not only are you going to conclude like Rabbi Akiva that a sheni is going to make a shlishi by chulin, but on top of that, you're also going to conclude that mashkin are going to be metame acherim, that mashkin is going to be metame ochlin. Good. So, it's a revision of yesterday's daf in that when Rav Yossi said that mashkin are metame ochlin, what now the Gemara understands that to mean is that Rav Yossi himself doesn't subscribe to that position. But if you were to operate using the method of Rabbi Akiva, that's the conclusion you would arrive at. Good. So a revision of yesterday's daf. So Amalei Rav Yossi, I'm sorry. Amalei Rav Asher Rav Kahana. So now the Gemara is going to revisit the statement of Rava, and the first part of today's daf is going to be a clarification of the statement. So in today's daf, Yutes, Psachim, Yutes. So really what we're going to be tackling are the statement of Rava, which is that Rav Yossi and Rabbi Kiva are not subscribing to each other's position. That's number one. And then the second half of today's daf, we're going to be learning a Mishnah in Adios, actually another Mishnah in Adios, you'll see what I mean, and focusing on that. So first half of today's daf, Amalei Rav Asher Rav Kahana Bishlama, Rav Yossi lo sever lo k'Rabbi Akiva. Now I know that Rav Yossi does not subscribe to Rabbi Akiva, d'tanya. Now here is a b'raisa. I'm Rav Yossi minayin l'Ravi b'kodesh hu posel. So how do I know that when it comes to Ravi b'kodesh it's posel? So this, before we start over here with the Kal V'Chomer, and it's going to be honestly a bit of a challenging Kal V'Chomer, but before we start with the Kal V'Chomer, so let's go over what we already know. As far as the transmissions of Tumah is concerned, so again, you have your Ava Tumah, that's going to be your sources of Tumah, Sheretz, Nevela, Zav, Zav, Anida, Yoledes, etc., etc., all those are going to be sources of Tumah, and then that Tumah is going to transmit. Now, if we're talking about something which is chulin, does not have any kedusha whatsoever, so those transmissions of tumah go how far? So sheretz comes into contact with the food, that food now is a rishon. That food comes into contact with the liquid, that liquid is a sheni. Now, outside of the world of Rabbi Akiva, so what do we subscribe to? We subscribe to that's it. Meaning by chulin, it doesn't go any further. So that means that in chulin, if that sheni were to make contact with a shlishi, it's not a shlishi. In other words, it's just simply tahor legamre. So the end of the line of transmission of Tumah by Chulin is a Sheni. We also know that when it comes to Truma, so it goes one level more. The Truma has more Kedusha. It's a great way to look at it. The Truma has more Kedusha and therefore is going to be eligible for more Tumah. So if Truma comes into contact with the Sheni, the Truma becomes the Shlishi. Now when we're talking about Karban and Kachim, so there it has more Kedusha. So therefore, it is more susceptible to becoming Tameh. And by Karban, it becomes a Revi. Good. That's the conclusion. Those are the facts. What we're going to be learning together is how we get there. And in the course of discussing how we get there, so we're going to point out, the Gemara is going to point out, that you have to conclude that Rav Yossi does not agree to Rabbi Akiva. Now, let's say like this. So how do I know that when it comes to Revi Bekodesh, so it becomes Pasal, as we already said. But the Gemara over here is not going over the facts. The Gemara wants to know, how do we arrive at that conclusion? Vidinhu, so the Gemara says, it's based on a Kavachomer, and the Kavachomer sounds like this. Now, as dealing with the Mechusar Kippurim, Shemutah B'Trumah Pasal Bekodesh. Mechusar Kippurim is allowed to eat Trumah, but is prohibited from eating Kodesh. And let's go over, we've gone over this numerous times, it doesn't matter, let's go over it again. Let's review. When it comes to our Mechusar Kippurim, who is that describing? It's describing somebody who was Tameh and went through a Tahara process. In the Tahara process, had a count at the end of that minyan, at the end of the count, toveled in the mikvah. After having toveled in the mikvah, then is what's called the Tful Yom. Still has residual Tumah. Then experienced Hera of Shemesh, the sun setting. After the sun sets, so they are mostly Tahor. Then, the next day, they're going to bring Karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. Before bringing the Karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, they're in the status of what's called Mechusa Kippurim. After bringing their Karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, they are now fully Tahor. Now, in this, who are we describing right now? Who goes through this process? So they go. The person who goes through this process is basically your Yoledes, a woman who's given birth. Right, for a boy, this would now be describing the 40th and 41st day. 40th day, they'd be toveling in the mikvah. 41st day, they'd be bringing karbanos. If they had a girl, if the woman had a girl, so she would be on the 80th day, she'd be toveling in the mikvah. 81st day, she'd be bringing karbanos. We're also talking about a Zav Gadola, where on the 7th day, she'll be toveling in the mikvah. Her 7th day of Shiva Nikim, she'll be toveling in the mikvah. On the 8th day, she'll be bringing karbanos. Okay, so these are all the people that we're describing. And in terms of this Tahara process, so let's go over what we already know. And that is that on, let's talk about the woman who gave birth to a boy. Just focus on one example. So on the woman who gave birth to a boy, so on the 40th day, so what she'll be doing is she'll be toveling in the mikvah. Good. After she has toveled in the mikvah on the 40th day postpartum, so now she is what's called a Tvul Yom. She still has residual tumah. What she could do at that point in time is she can eat chulin, obviously, but that's it. She can't eat truma at that point in time. She will only be able to eat truma after Harav Shemesh. Once Harav Shemesh once the sun sets, so now she will be able to eat truma. Fine. But after the sun sets, she's still what's called a Mechusar Kippurim. What can a Mechusar Kippurim do? So the Mechusar Kippurim prior to the next day, the 41st day, prior to her bringing karbanos, so she can eat truma, as we just established, but she can't eat karban. Now, the next day, she goes to the Beis Hamikdash, she brings her karbanos. Now, after having brought her karbanos, then she will be able to eat even karban as well. She'll be able to eat kachim. So now, our Mechusar Kippurim. So now let's go back to the Gemara. So now after having reviewed the halachas, so now we understand. Ma Mechusar Kippurim shemota b'truma. So our Mechusar Kippurim is allowed to eat truma and pasul b'kodesh, but cannot eat karban at that point in time. So now let's start that as our starting point. And we're comparing a Mechusar Kippurim to what? To a shlishi. Now, admittedly, by the way, this is where the comparison is a little bit difficult because a Mechusar Kippurim is a person. A shlishi is a construct of Tumah Tahara. So it is a strange comparison, admittedly. But just understand, though, in other words, we are comparing in our Gemara the Mechusar Kippurim to a shlishi. Okay, it is an unusual kavachomer, but that's what we're doing. So so shlishi shepasul b'truma. Now, when it comes to shlishi, so we know that the shlishi pasul is a truma. So eino din shiyasa revi b'kodesh. So if a shlishi pasul is truma, so for sure it should make a revi b'kodesh. V'lamanu shlishi b'kodesh min haTorah. Now, as far as a kodesh is concerned, we already know, we've already established that b'kodesh, a shlishi is going to become pasul. So revi mikavachomer. So therefore, what the kavachomer does is it takes us one level further when it comes to kodesh, and that is it brings us to the point of a revi. Much to discuss over here in this kavachomer, but if we could just simply say the kavachomer again, just slightly more succinctly. So just like a mechusar kippurim, where mechusar kippurim is allowed to eat truma, and yet pasul's kodesh, and it's going to disqualify kodesh. If our mechusar kippurim were to touch kodesh, it would disqualify the kodesh. So shlishi, which actually pasul's truma, so for sure it should impact kodesh. It should pasul the kodesh as well. And then on top of that, we've already established that when it comes to kodesh, we already know about shlishi. So therefore, the pasuling of the kodesh is at the point. The kavachomer brings us to a revi. Now that's an important step over there, but and I'm going to explain that better in just a moment. But shlishi min haTorah dichsiv. Now, how do I know that when it comes to kodesh, shlishi has already been established? Because we have a pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'abasar asher yiga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel." That when basar comes into contact with tamei, basar kodesh. That is, in other words, if you look in the context of that pasuk, you'll see it's talking about basar kodesh. When basar kodesh comes into contact with tamei lo ye'achel, and mi lo askin and denaga b'sheni. Now, the Torah doesn't say what the carbon came into contact with, but it just simply describes it as tamei, and we have to assume worst case scenario. What's the worst case scenario? Meaning, what did the kodesh come into contact with? Well, what do we know are the limits of tumah when it comes to chulin? The limits of tumah when it comes to chulin is a sheni. So therefore, the Torah is describing where the kodesh comes into contact with the sheni, and therefore the kodesh becomes the shlishi. Good. That's the pasuk. So without a kavachomer, I already know from the pasuk that kodesh can become a shlishi. Now I have a kavachomer that tells me that when I have my shlishi, so it can do even more damage. So what's the more damage, more tumma damage? So what's the extended tumma that it could do? It can make a revi. That's what the kavachomer is coming to teach me. Good. Now revi, and that's exactly the next line of the gemara. Revi mi kavachomer kedamrinan, and so therefore the revi comes through the kavachomer. Now, I do not want to belabor the point, but it's a really important point, and Rashi brings it down on the bottom of the previous amud, and that is the idea that the establishment that kodesh becomes a shlishi from the pasuk, that's really important. Why? Because if we didn't establish that, and all we had is a kavachomer, so we all know the rules. A kavachomer, as far as making a kavachomer is concerned, good. So you can make a kavachomer. Anyone can make a kavachomer, so to say, as long as the logic is sound. But in terms of where we conclude with the kavachomer, we have a principle of dayo, that the conclusion of the kavachomer, in other words, if I'm learning from A to B, the halacha of B cannot be any greater, any more serious than that of the halacha of A. We're learning from Mechusar Kippurim to a shlishi. Now, Mechusar Kippurim, as far as the Mechusar Kippurim is concerned, so a Mechusar Kippurim is allowed to eat truma, but pasul b'kodesh. So the Mechusar Kippurim now, as far as being the source halacha is concerned, so all it's telling me is that it creates psul when it comes to kodesh. Now I'm comparing it to a shlishi. Now a shlishi, which passes in truma, so for sure it's going to do something to kodesh. What is it going to do to kodesh? Well, if I'm only learning it from the source halacha, so I'll tell you what's going to do to kodesh, and that is it should make it a shlishi. Shouldn't go anywhere beyond that. Meaning, when it comes to truma can only become a shlishi, so kodesh should also become a shlishi as well. So the pasuk that we just cited tells us that no, by kodesh I already know shlishi. Since I already know shlishi by kodesh, so therefore the kal vachomer is going to take me one step further. Without the pasuk establishing that kodesh is the shlishi, so then the kal vachomer only would have gotten me to a shlishi by kodesh and not anything more than that. Okay, and that's the principle of dayo, and that's why the pasuk over here is necessary. Okay. Anyway, here comes the point of the Gemara. All that was the brayso of Rabbi Yossi, the kal vachomer of Rabbi Yossi. Now, Ishak Adacha Savaka Rabbi Akiva. Now, imagine for a moment that Rabbi Yossi subscribes to Rabbi Akiva. Now, what do we know about Rabbi Akiva? So we know regarding Rabbi Akiva that when it comes to Chulin, a Chulin can become a Sheni, a Chulin can also become a Shlishi as well. Rabbi Akiva Darshans, we learned this in yesterday's daf. Rabbi Akiva Darshans, based on the Pasuk of Chol Kli Cheres Asher Yipol Mehem, and the conclusion of that Pasuk is Yitma, Rabbi Akiva Darshans, that not only is a Chulin going to become Tameh, but Yitameh, it's also going to make something else Tameh as well. So Rabbi Akiva subscribes to the idea that Chulin can become a Sheni, Chulin can also become a Shlishi. Now, if that's true, so now take that principle of Rabbi Akiva and apply now the kal vachomer that we just learned by Rabbi Yossi. So Nisni Nami Ravi B'Chuma V'Chamishi B'Kodesh. That means now what? That once Chulin can become a Shlishi, that means Truma can go even one level further than that. What's Truma going to be according to this? According to this line of thinking, Chulin's going to become a Ravi. I'm sorry. Truma's going to become a Ravi. Right? Chulin can become a Shlishi. Truma's going to become a Ravi. Now that Truma can become a Ravi, so now where's the kal vachomer going to take us? It's going to take us to the idea that Kodesh can become a Chamishi. So that would all be the conclusion according to Rabbi Akiva. Now we happen to know that Rabbi Akiva doesn't subscribe to that. So that gets us to the point that that Rabbi Yossi does not subscribe to the rules of Rabbi Akiva, because if he did, meaning if Rabbi Yossi were to have Chulin become not only Sheni but even a Shlishi as well, so then the Kavachomers of Rabbi Yossi would take us to a Truman being a Ravi, Kodesh being a Chamishi. Rabbi Yossi never said that, so therefore we know that Rabbi Yossi himself cannot be subscribing to Rabbi Akiva. Fine. Ela Rabbi Akiva lo sever lo k'Rabbi Yossi. Well, now we're going to go in the other direction, and that is Rabbi Akiva doesn't subscribe to Rabbi Yossi. How do I know that? So Amalei de lo lishamei tana listening revi'a b'chumim v'chamishi b'kodesh. So now, when we say that, I'm sorry, let me be clear. When we say that Rabbi Akiva doesn't subscribe to Rabbi Yossi, what we mean to say is that Rabbi Akiva doesn't subscribe to the kal vachomer, meaning Rabbi Yossi's kal vachomer that he laid out on the bottom of the previous amud. We're comparing Mechusa Kippurim to Ushlishi. Well, if a Mechusa Kippurim is muta b'chumim and pasos kodesh, Shlishi, which passes truma for sure, should affect kodesh. And again, by kodesh we already know shlishi. So therefore, when I say affect kodesh, I mean making it a revi. That's a kal vachomer of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Akiva does not subscribe to that kal vachomer. Now, why doesn't he subscribe to that kal vachomer? So here I'm going to point you into the direction of this extraordinarily long Rashi. The Rashi over here goes through the Gemara and Sota. The Gemara and Sota takes a lot of time going over why Rabbi Akiva necessarily does not subscribe to the kal vachomer of Rabbi Yossi. For our purposes right now, let's just say it simply. Rabbi Akiva does not agree to the kal vachomer. Fine. So once he doesn't agree to the kal vachomer, so now Rabbi Akiva says that Chulin can become a Sheni. Chulin can also become a Shlishi. That sheet is Rabbi Akiva, but he doesn't subscribe to the kal vachomer. Why? How do I know that? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how I know that. Because if Rabbi Akiva subscribed to the kal vachomer, so that means Rabbi Akiva would say what? That a Truma can become a Revi, and that Kodesh can become a Chamishi. Now, the Gemara's argument is that, look, in all of Mishnayos, in all of the Brisos, in every Tanaitic work that we have, here's what we don't have, meaning the Gemara has done the search engine for us, and that is that we have not found through any Mishnah nor any Brisa a statement that says that Truma can become a Revi and Kodesh can become a Chamishi. And if there was a Brisa like that, so then our comment would be, oh, that's Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, here's what you'll do. You'll take the core sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that Chulin can become a Sheni, Chulin can become a Shlishi. You'll tack onto that the Kavachomer of Rabbi Yossi. And so therefore, if there was a Mishnah, or if there was a Braisa that said that Truma can become a Revi'ich, and Kodesh can become a Chamishi, oh, so that must be Rabbi Akiva, starting with his foundation, that Chulin can become a Shlishi, adding on top of that the Kavachomer of Rabbi Yossi, and we're all good. So the argument of the Gemara, it is a strange argument. The Gemara itself is about to point out. The argument of the Gemara is, since we find no such Tana, therefore Rabbi Akiva must reject Rav Yossi's Kavachomer. So the Gemara says, really, is that true? So ve'anana hachi nekum anismach. So basically you're telling me that we ran a search engine. There is no Tana that describes a Revi by Truma and a Chamishi by Kodesh. And so therefore you want to tell me that Rabbi Akiva rejects the Kavachomer of Rav Yossi. That's strange. In other words, the argument is just simply we don't have a source. Okay, this is the argument of lo ra'inu, meaning I've never seen it, so therefore it must be right. In the beginning of Yerodea, right? If you learn Hilchoshchit, in the beginning of Yerodea, right? The major discussion over there whether a woman can shecht, and part of the discussion is, well, we've never seen it. And, well, we've never seen it. Okay, is that a proof or is that not a proof? Meaning, it just simply means we've never seen it. That doesn't prove one way or another whether women can or cannot shecht. So so over here, so good. So we haven't seen a mishnah, we haven't seen a braisa. But the Gemara says, is that enough? So nafak ravashi v'itim rav kahana dak v'ashkach. So the Gemara says, fine. So we're going to go about it a different way. Meaning, we're going to show clearly that Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva does not subscribe to the kavachomer of Rabbi Yossi. How do I know that? Because of the following. We do have we did find something. When I say we, Rav Ashi or Rav Kahana found something. Did now we have the following Mishnah. Hakli, Mitzarif es Masha Batsoch, Lakodesh Avalol Truma, Varevi Bekodesh Pasav, Vashlishi Betruma. So here we have a Brisa describing the principle of Tziruf. Tziruf is the following. If I have, let's say, in a bowl, I have something which is made up of particles. Well, what they are, we'll describe in just a moment. But if something is made up of particles, and so, if they're in a singular bowl, is that bowl going to unify and unite all those particles to make them like one entity? So, in this Mishnah, we say that a kli will be mitzaref for kodesh, but not for truma. Meaning, if we're talking about something that has the status, the level of kodesh, so then the kli is going to be mitzaref. But if it's just truma, then the tree's not, then the bowl's not going to be mitzaref. That means the following. Let's say we're discussing something like truma, for example, where I have particles in a bowl. If I touch one of the particles, that item now becomes if it's truma, and let's say, for example, I'm a sheni, so that item becomes a shlishi. Fine. The particle right next to it is going to be tar legamre, because that's the end of the road as it relates to truma. However, when it comes to kodesh, once I have these particles in a bowl, and I touch one, they're all going to become tame. Why? Because the bowl unites and unifies all those particles therein. Good. That's the Mishnah. Now, the point that you have to really highlight in the Mishnah is the fact that it says, V'harevi b'kodesh pasol v'ashlishi b'truma. So, revi b'kodesh is pasol, and shlishi b'truma. Good. So, over here, whoever the author of this Mishnah is, spoiler alert, it's going to be Rabbi Akiva. Whoever the author of this Mishnah is clearly having the limits of Kodesh going up to Revi and the limits of Truma going up to Shlishi. And by the way, who's the author of this Mishnah? It's Rabbi Akiva. How do I know that? Because the Tanya, we have over here a Braisa. Now, Braisa, actually over here, it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah Adios, which is host of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva adds the following. Solas. Fine flour, ketores, the incense, lavona, that's a specific incense that's added to menachos, and also offered in other areas of the Beis Hamikdash, and gachalim and coals. Okay, common denominator, we're describing things that are all made up of particles. Shim nago tful yom b'miksasam pasos kulam, where if they tful yom were to touch some of them, they're all going to be disqualified. Okay, anyway, what we find over here is the idea of Tziruf as it relates to Kodesh and host of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, I'm going to add that to the list. So that means to say that the previous Mishnah is in fact authored by Rabbi Akiva. In the previous Mishnah, where does it take us in terms of the limits of transmission of Tumah? So by Truma Shlishi, by Kodesh Revi'i, it now has, we have now proven, meaning by putting that Mishnah in Chagiga together with this Mishnah in Adios together, we have now proven that Rabbi Kiva has the limits of Kodesh going up to Revi'i and the limits of Truma going up to Shlishi. Ergo, Revi in Chamishi lo, Shlishi in Revi lo, Amakasavar. So I'm sorry, that's already a new point. Let's pause after the word Revi lo. So what do we see over there? Ergo, we see that Rabbi Kiva does not subscribe to the Kavachomer of Rav Yossi, because I'll say it again. Because if Rabbi Kiva subscribes to the Kavachomer of Yossi, Rabbi Kiva's starting point by Chulin is that Chulin can become a Shlishi, and so now if I were to apply the Kavachomer of Rabbi Yossi, so that means that Truma would bring me up to a Revi'i, and then Kodesh would bring me up to a Chamishi. But we have just shown in this Braisa, in the Mishnah and Braisa, the combination of the two, that Rabbi Kiva has the limits of Kodesh going up to Revi'i, the limits of Truma going up to a Shlishi. So we see that Rabbi Kiva does not subscribe to the Kavachomer of Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of section number one of today's daf. And that is Rabbi Kiva doesn't subscribe to Rav Yossi, nor does Rav Yossi subscribe to Rabbi Kiva. Good. So the Gemara says, oh, by the way, just as a tangential point, in the Braisa over here, Rabbi Kiva added Solus, Ketoros, Lavon, and Gachalim, and he says, you see over here, the Tziruf is a Din de Rabbanan. This idea that when something's in a bowl together, and that bowl is going to unify that which is in it, that's a Din de Rabbanan. How does he see that it's a Din de Rabbanan? So the Rashi points out over here, Rashi Dibra Maskal Amakasar Tirfta Rabbanan Milsabat Pe Namshehi. It's an independent point, says Rashi, Medam Rabbi Yochanan Medusus Rabbi Kiva, Nishas Amakasar Rabbi Yochanan Tirf Dekli, the Kodesh de Kazani Gabe. Malos, this is a Chumra, Lavda or Raisa Huela Medurabanan, Medusus Rabbi Kiva, Dimidurabananhu, Digachalim, Vilavona, Lav Bene Kibuli Tumaninu. Because consider what was just added to the list. Inedible items were added to the list. Coals and Livona. Those are items that are not edible. So they're not edible, and meanwhile we're talking about them becoming Tamei. And not only that, but the idea that the bowl is uniting and unifying, it's a Din d'Rabbanan. It's not a Din d'Oraisa. That's Rashi's understanding. Anyway, Upligi d'Rabbi Chanin d'Amr Tziruf d'Oraisa. Now the Gemara points out that there is another side to this, and that is the position Rabbi Chanin, that Tziruf, the idea of something being put in a bowl, unifying and combining, it's a Din d'Oraisa. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Kavachas Asarazara Zahav Malea Katoris. In the gifts of the Nesiim, which were actually tomorrow morning, we're going to start reading in Chanukah. So it says Kavachas Asarazara Malea Katoris. So it says that one spool, that one spoon that was filled with Katoris. So Hakasav Asar Koma Shebekaf Achas. Everything that's in that one spoon, it's more like a bowl, but everything that's in that one spoon is going to be unified and is going to be one entity. It's a drasha, therefore it's a din d'oraisa. Okay, just as a side tangential point, whether or not Tziruf operates on a d'rabbanan or on a d'oraisa level. Good. Okay, that takes us to the first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf, we're honestly going to go on a little bit of a tangent over here, because in the second half of today's daf, so we're going to be quoting another Mishnah in Adios, and we're going to be commenting on that Mishnah. And really, the entirety of the remainder of today's daf, and it spills into tomorrow's daf, is going to be a comment on this Mishnah in Adios. So why was the Gemara over here speaking about this Mishnah in Adios? So number one, go back to what I said almost a week ago, and that is that we don't speak about Tumat Tahara that frequently in the Bavli. So obviously over here now, basically what the... what the Gemara did is it curated a bunch of Mishnayos and Braises that deal with Tumat Tahara. And so this is going to be the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, I'm sorry, the Amoraim of Bavel, taking the opportunity of talking about Tumat Tahara. So that is, that's the more general reason why it's being discussed over here. And on top of that, we just quoted a Mishnah in Adios, although admittedly, the Mishnah in Adios we just quoted was the beginning of the 8th Perek. This Mishnah over here is in the 2nd Perek. Okay, so not exactly a tight connection, but meanwhile, okay, a Mishnah in Adios, Tanan Hasam. Four lines from the bottom on Yutes Amud Aleph. Amacha Shinim says Bebasar. So let's say we have the following circumstance, which is that you shechted an animal, right? The animal was a carbon, so that means that now after you shechted it, the meat of that animal is what's called Basar Kodesh, and Machash and Imse Bebasa, and you find a needle somewhere within the flesh of the animal. Okay, it got pierced. Obviously, it didn't make the animal a mum. Obviously, it didn't make the animal a trefa. Over here, the only issue that's under review and under discussion is the status of that needle regarding Tumah Tahara. So, Machash and Imse Bebasa, Shasakin, Vahayadim Taharos, Vahabasa Tameh. So, as far as the knife is concerned, as far as Yadayim are concerned, they're Tahor. All this to be explained in much greater detail. However, as far as the bus is concerned, as far as the meat of the animal is concerned, Tameh, the meat of the animal is going to be Tameh, meaning the needle is going to be Metameh, the buster, even though the needle is not going to affect the hands, your hands, and the needle is not going to affect the knife. Again, we're going to explain all this in much greater detail. We're just right now familiarizing ourselves with the Mishnah. Nimseis beperesh, let's say the needle was found within the excrement of the animal, so akol tar, everything's going to be tar. I'm Rabbi Kiva, and then on the end of that Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva says, Zachinu, Shein Tumas Yadayim B'Mikdash. Rabbi Kiva says, you know, we're very fortunate that there is Tumas Yadayim, right? The idea that our hands are a Sheini, which is Exerid Rabbanan, so that was not instituted in the Beis HaMikdash. There was a relaxation of that Gezera in the Beis HaMikdash, and Rabbi Kiva says, Zachinu, basically, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, we don't have that gzera. Otherwise, there would be a proliferation of Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. And probably that's why it was relaxed in the Beis HaMikdash. V'neima. Okay, after having learned the Mishnah, now turning to the top of your Testament Beis, the Gemara now wants to know, V'neima Shein Tumas Yadayim V'Kalim B'Mikdash. Now, wait one second. That was the only relaxation of the Tumah Derabban that exists in the Beis HaMikdash, that there's no Tumas Yadayim. What about the fact that there's no Tumas Kalim as well? Meaning, as a gzera derabanan, when a liquid which is tameh comes into contact with a kli, min haTorah, the kli is not tameh. However, mid derabanan, the kli is tameh. Right? We spoke about this just a couple days ago, earlier. But the Gemara wants to know. You know that rule was also relaxed in the Beis Hamikdash. Why didn't Rabbi Kiva comment on that? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Tam, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Yadayim Kodim Gzeros Kelim Nishnu. So the Gemara makes a suggestion. Well, just historically, the Gzera of Yadayim came before the Gzera of Kelim. So I'm Rabbi Vahatar Vayu Baba Yom Gazer. The Gemara immediately rejects it, and the Gemara simply says it's not true. Did not, because we have the following Mishnah. Ha Sefer Vaha Yadayim Vaha Tvul Yom Vaha Ochlim Vaha Kelim Shenitmu Bemashkin. You know, says the Mishnah. We did this back in Shabbos. That the gzeras of Sefer, meaning Sifrei Kodesh, and the gzera of Yadayim, and the gzera of Tvul Yom, the Gemara and Shabbos amends this Mishnah, because Tvul Yom is a Din D'Oraisa, it's not a Din D'Rabbanan. Tvul Yom somehow awkwardly got into the list, and the Gemara and Shabbos says take it out of the list. And Ochlim, and Kalim, becomes Tamei with Mashke. So over here in this Brisa, we just enumerated a number of the Yud Ches Davar, a number of the 18 enactments that were enacted. In other words, machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But then they took a vote, and then Beis Shammai's positions were agreed upon. And over here in this Mishnah, we went over a number of them. But note in this Mishnah how we included Ochlim and Kalim that becomes Tamei with Mashkin. And on top of that, also in the beginning of the Mishnah, you had the gzera of Yadayim. So the idea that Yadayim are a Sheni, the idea that Kalim become Tameh with a Mashke, so they were all enacted at the same time historically. So the Gemara says it's just simply not true. So now back to the Mishnah Adios, when Rabbi Kiva at the end comments, thank God there's no Yadayim in the Beis HaMikdash, there's no gzera of Tumas Yadayim in the Beis HaMikdash, why don't you make a comment on Kalim as well? Elam Arava Hanach L'Tumasakin Da'afilu B'chulin, Nami lo mitame. Rava says the term of sakin is concerned. So afilu b'chulin nami lo mitame. So the idea that a knife is not included in the gzera of kalim. So that was not a Beis HaMikdash halacha. That is a universal halacha that knives are excluded from the gzera of kalim. So, fine. So, the Gemara says, so that's why Rabbi Kiva didn't make a comment about it, because that's not something that's specific to the Beis HaMikdash. Good. Ha'isakin denagim emai. The Gemara now wants to know, now, this knife that shechted the animal, what exactly was the concern? So, ilam denaka babasar ha'in ochem atamikli. Look, the knife obviously came into contact with the meat, right? The knife is cutting the meat. So the Gemara says, that's all well and good. Even though the basar's tame, that basar tame is not going to affect the knife. A ochel is not metame kli. So the Gemara says, okay, well, maybe the knife came into contact with the needle. Remember, the needle is the source of tumma. So the Gemara says, I ain't kli metami kli. The Gemara says, that's all well and good. A kli is not going to be metami, nor the kli as well. So the idea that the knife is tahor, so the Gemara just ends up pointing out that there's no reason why the knife should even become tamei. Just leave it at that. Hai macha mayavidate. Okay, the Gemara says, okay, let's now start understanding this Mishnah Adios. We're going to start it now, and obviously we'll conclude it tomorrow, in terms of a good understanding of this Mishnah Adios. The needle found in the meat of this animal. So we said that the basar of the animal is tamei, yadayim are fine, sakin is fine, but the meat's tamei. What's going on with this needle? Hai macha mayavidate. Inem is safik machat. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it falls under the category of safek machat, meaning it's a needle, which obviously means it's a kli, and it's a safek. In other words, there's a possibility that it was touched by somebody tamei or not. We simply do not know the history of this needle. The Gemara says that's all well and good. V'ha itmar Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yosi, Rebbe Chanina, chanamar lo gazer al safek harokin shi b'Yerushalayim. So if you have spit found in Yerushalayim and we do not know its origins, so we are going to be makel, meaning despite the fact that there is a chance that the spit was discharged by a zav or a zava, and we know that the secretions of a zav and a zava are just as tame as the zav and zava are concerned, and that spit would be tame midda araisa, and it would be an avatama. But if you find spit and you don't know its origins in the base in Yerushalayim, so we're gonna be makel. V'chanamar lo gazru al safek akelim shibi Yerushalayim. And on top of that, there's also another relaxation regarding safek kelim. If we have a clean, we don't know its origins and we don't know its history, nevertheless, it's gonna be tamei in Yerushalayim. Again, all this is gonna be discussed in much greater detail. But in the meantime, however, our needle that's found in the Basar Kodesh, so why are we concerned about it? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Kigon Shavda Belo Macha Tamei Meis V'Kira Babasar. So the Gemara says, okay, well, here's what we do have. We have a bit of circumstantial evidence, and that is that we lost a needle that we know is Tamei Meis, and we found a similar needle, or could very well be that needle we found in the Basar Kodesh. That's that's the particular case of that Mishnah Adios. That's one example. Rav Yosi, Rabbi Avin Amar Kigon Shaisa Para Chasuma. Another suggestion of the Gemara is that when the animal was brought into Yerushalayim, it was brought and muzzled, meaning that this animal did not ingest anything after it entered into Yerushalayim. And therefore, where's the history, where are the origins of the needle? Here's the story. It's not a Suffolk Kli that occurred in Yerushalayim. Suffolk Kli in Yerushalayim, we're going to be Mekel. And again, we're going to explain that much better later on why that is. But over here, there happens to be that in this particular case, the needle, we know, entered into the animal outside of Yerushalayim. Why? Because the animal was muzzled before it was born to Yerushalayim. Okay. So Gufa, the Gemara says, let's now revisit that first answer. Rav Elazar, Rav Yosi, Rabbi Chanin, Chanamar lo gazru, al safek arokin shibu Yerushalayim, Chanamar lo gazru, al safek akelim shibu Yerushalayim. These ideas that safek rok and safek kli are not gzeras that were enacted in Yerushalayim. So first the Gemara says, we have sources for both of these halachas. Rokin Tanina, Kalin Tanina, Rokin Tanina. We have a Mishnah here in this case. Yeah, Mishnah. It's the Mishnah and Shkalim. Regarding Rok, that now we have a Mishnah and Shkalim. Here, eighth parak of Shkalim. Kol HaRokin, Imsim Yerushalayim, Taharim, Chutz Mishel, Shuka Alyon. So you find any spit, and you don't know the history of that spit in Yerushalayim, you're going to be Mekel, with notable exception to Shuka Elyon. We're going to see this Mishnah and Shkalim. Actually, we're going to do the Yerushalmi. Not that long from now. Right, sometime in the summertime, we'll be seeing this Mishnah together. We'll explain what makes Shuka Elyon different. Anyway, Lo Tzricha Af Agav Diz Chazek Zav. So the Gemara says, okay. So once you have the Mishnah Shkalim, so what did the Amora just add to our discussion? We don't know which Amora it was, but one of the Amoraim said that there's no issue of Suffolk Roke in Yerushalayim. You have a Mishnah Shkalim. So the Gemara adds, the Gemara says, what we're adding over here is that we're talking about where we happen to have known that there was a Zav walking around Yerushalayim. So now that we know that there's a Zav walking around Yerushalayim, so maybe now it elevates the Suffolk just a little bit more. That's the Chiddush. It doesn't. Kalim Tanina, now as far as Kalim is concerned, we also have a Mishnah. This also is a Mishnah in Shkalim in the 8th Perek. So the Gemara says, look, you find a clean Yerushalayim. Now there were mikvahs all over Yerushalayim, and it was one way traffic into the mikvah, meaning that there was a path to go down to the mikvah, and there was a separate path that took you up from the mikvah. If let's say the kli is found on the path going down to the mikvah, so then that kli is going to be tameh, which means that what's the default setting for any kli found in Yerushalayim? The default setting is that it's going to be tahor, even though I don't know its history. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. That Mishnah Shkalim, that's what you're going to give me? Had the Amat Taharin or the Tameh Masefa Der Chaliyah Taharin. Well, the Mishnah also tells me that if I find a kli on the ascent out of the mikvah, so that kli is going to be tahor. Now I could say from that line of the Mishnah, had the Amat Tamein. Well, I could say now that really the default setting is that normally it's tameh. So Ela Reisha Dafka Vesefa Lav Dafka. So the Gemara says no. You're right. You could be critical in the way you read the second half of the Mishnah, but don't be. Really, the critical point of that Mishnah is the first part of that Mishnah, where if I find a kli going down to the mikvah and a route to going down to the mikvah, that's going to be tameh, which means that generally the default setting is I find any kli in Yerushalayim, it's going to be tahor, even though I don't know its history. And the second half of the Mishnah is just there for the purposes of symmetry. And the Gemara says, and what it's coming to do is it's coming to exclude little alleyways, meaning that in addition to the main pathways that go down to the mikvah and come up from the mikvah, if there happen to be little alleyways that were close to the path down to the mikvah, but if that's not the main pathway that's taken down to the mikvah, so then so that kli is going to in fact be tahor, not tameh. Fine. Ula Rav Damar Kagon Shavdala Macha Tame Mezve Hikira Babasar Kaven to Amar Mar. So now the Gemara is going to revisit our two answers of what's going on with that needle found in the animal. Meaning that needle that's found in the animal, so the Gemara says, how is it going to be Matame the bus of the animal? Meaning we just established that all Kalim in the base of Mikdash or in Yerushalayim, even though I don't know its history, we're going to assume that it's Tahor. And it's also true regarding spit as well, but we're focusing right now on the kalim. So if I find the needle in the animal, so why should I be worried? So the Gemara gave two answers. One answer is that the needle was that of a tamei mace, and we know a needle came into contact with tamei mace. We found a similar needle in the animal. That was answer number one. Answer number two is that we muzzled the animal before it got into Yerushalayim. So we know the needle comes from outside Yerushalayim, where there we're going to be machmir. So the Gemara says, Ula Rav Damar Kagon Shavdala Macha Tamei Meis V'Ikir Rabba Basar Kev Damar Mar. So the Gemara says, on this first answer, I have a simple question. We know that when it comes to a needle, a metal needle, B'Chalal Cherev Cherev Harehu Kechalal Adam V'Kelim Nami Li Tamei. So the Gemara says, remember what we learned earlier, and we're now seeing this for a second time. Metal Kelim coming into contact with a mace is now going to be an Avatuma, which is now has the ability to be Metamei, not just Ochlin, not just Mashkin, but even Adam V'Kalim, the person touching that needle, he should be Tamei as well. So the Gemara says, Amar Avashi, Zosameris, Ezra, Azara, Rishos Arabim, who? Avalei Safik Tumah, Rishos Arabim, V'chol Safik Tumah, Rishos Arabim, Sveiko Tahor. Well, remember now, where did we find this needle? In the Basar Kodesh. Where was the Basar Kodesh? In the Azara. What is the Azara? So the Gemara is arguing right now that the Azara is a Rishus Arabim, and so this really becomes a question of a Safik Tumah B'Rishus Arabim, Safik Tumah B'Rishus Arabim, Sveiko Tahor, which then of course begs the question, well, what about the meat of the animal? Okay, so we're going to pause over here kind of awkwardly, because this is really going to take us well into tomorrow's daf. So let's pause over here, we'll come back, we'll reset ourselves up in the beginning of tomorrow morning. In the meantime, however, let's recap our daf today. We continued our discussion of Tuma Tahara, and we went over 2 points at the beginning of today's shiur, the first half of today's daf. And that is that Reb Yossi and Rebbe Kiva do not agree with each other on two particular points. One is that Reb Yossi does not agree with Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva says that the transmission of Tuma by Chulin goes not only to a Rishon, not only to a Sheni, but even up to a Shlishi. That is the limits of transmission of Tuma even by Chulin. Now, Rav Yossi does not subscribe to that point. The Gemara says we know that to be so. We have brises to prove so. On top of that, we also know that Rabbi Akiva does not subscribe to Rav Yossi, meaning Rabbi Akiva says that Chulin can become even a Shlishi. Doesn't subscribe to Rav Yossi. What did Rav Yossi teach us earlier today? Rav Yossi taught us that the Kav HaChomer, that just like a Mechusar Kippurim, that goes easy on Truma and yet is harsh on Kodesh, Shlishi, which goes harsh on Truma, for sure is going to go harsh on Kodesh. That's the Kav HaChomer of Rav Yossi. Rabbi Akiva does not subscribe to that Kav HaChomer. Why? So that was a tricky part of today's daf. The reason why we know that Rabbi Akiva doesn't subscribe to the Kav HaChomer, first the Gemara tried to suggest, well, it has to do with the fact that we have no Tanaitic source that tells us that there's a Revi by Truma and a Chamishi by Kodesh, and so therefore it's by virtue of the fact that we have no source for that. So the Gemara says that's a difficult source. Eventually the Gemara says what we're going to do is we're going to take a Mishnah Chagiga, we're going to put it together with a Mishnah Adios, and that gets us to the point that we know that according to Rabbi Akiva, Truma only goes up to Shlishi, Kodesh goes up to Revi. That's how we know that Rabbi Akiva cannot, by definition, subscribe to the Kav HaChomer of Rav Yossi. The Gemara then went on a small tangent regarding the Mishnah in Adios talks about Siruf. The Gemara went on a small tangent whether or not Siruf, when I have particles put in a bowl, and the idea that the bowl unifies and unites everything, so is that a Din D'Rabbanan, Din D'Oraisa? So the Rabbi Akiva subscribes to the idea that it's a Din D'Rabbanan, and then the Gemara quoted that Rabbi Chanin, apparently he's a Tana. Anyway, he says that it's a Din D'Oraisa, he darshens it from a pasuk. Okay, and then the second half of today's daf, that was all the first half. Second half of today's daf is that we went through another Mishnah in Adios. Second parak of Adios, the Mishnah describes where you shecht an animal as a karbon in the Azara, obviously, and then you find a needle in its somewhere in its flesh. So now, what is the status? So if I find it in its flesh, the basar kodesh becomes tameh. You yourself remain tahor. The knife that you shechted with remains tahor, but the basar becomes tameh. As opposed to if the needle was found in the excrement of that animal, so then everything is fine. And right now we're in the middle of discussing this Mishnah in Adios. And by the way, Rabbi Akiva at the end of the Mishnah says Zachinu Baruch Hashem that there's no tumas yadayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, good. And then on the Amud Beis today, so the entirety of the Amud Beis is discussing and understanding this Mishnah in Adios, right? The issues that were brought up were, number one, what was the Baruch Hashem Rabbi Akiva, where he said, thank God there's no Gzeri Yadayim in the Beis HaMikdash. What about the fact that there's no Tumas Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash as well? So why did he mention that? The Gemara says, because we're talking about knives, and knives were never included in the Gzeris Tuma of Kalim. The needle found within the flesh, why would it be a problem? So that's the Gemara's next discussion. We know that any Suffolk Kli that's found in Yerushalayim is going to be Tahor. So we know that based on the Mishnah Shkalim, we know that also based on comments made by Amoraim as well. So what's exactly the issue of the needle? So the Gemara has two approaches. One approach is that the needle was, we know that we lost a needle that was subject to Tumas Mace. We found a similar looking needle within the Basar Kodesh. So therefore we have more evidence that suggests that this needle is in fact Tameh. If that's in fact true, so why isn't the person who touched this needle, why doesn't he become Tameh? We're in the middle of answering that question. That's where we're going to pick it up tomorrow. Adkan.